This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. So your friend has some sexy toes, huh, Bisque? The most beautiful feet that you've ever seen? I gotta admit, I can't help but wonder, is he sporting some size 9 squirrel feet like you? Or does the dude have some Viking ships at the end of his legs that you're just so envious of? Packing some hammer toes. What is it, kid? What type of men's feet are you so into? I know the listeners need to know. Do tell, kid.
Yeah, no, this is fucked up.
Fucked up, guy. It looks full. It looks great. It looks thick. I mean, if it keeps going like that, you're going to be the guy who's going to want to do you for the new pamphlet at the place. I've never been the pamphlet guy. That's a funny thing, right? Whoever gets the pamphlet, like, whoever gets their teeth done, did I ever get the call? Go, guy, your teeth came out so good. We want to put you on the brochure moving forward. All right. You ready to go? It's good to see you, bro. Pete Sebastian Show, baby. We're back. The show is back. People, I can't thank the people enough when I'm out and I say hi after the shows, how much it means to them, how much it means to us to do it. We're having a blast. I'm glad we're bringing laughter. How you doing, brother? How's everything? You looking good? Like I said, precast, that freaking hair looks like it's growing, multiplying.
Oh, that's good. It's good to know it's the biotin. It's kicking in.
There we go, Patrick. There's the first ad. Do we got anything going on with biotin? Is that a thing?
Hopefully that'll be part of the supplement ad.
Biotin for hair growth.
Welcome to the Pete Sebastian Show. First, foremost, I got to apologize for, I don't know when the hell that podcast is going to come out. I did it underneath. It looked like I was in a coma. The last one we did, bro, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened to me coming. Where was I? Oh, that was off the special. So apologies on that. Number two, Patreon. All right, people are chirping about Patreon. Just want to make the regular listeners aware that there is a Patreon. $5 a month. One episode behind the scenes. It's going up, bro. It's going up. Patreon actually called me and said, we don't know if we could hold this many subscribers.
I was thinking about a little perk I wanted to give to the Patreon listeners, but I don't know how it would work. But listen, you know, I mean, people that don't get Patreon, we love doing the shows we're giving you, and we'll never stop giving them to you. But sometimes you want to go a little outside the box. You want to give a little more. I don't know, man. I really, you know, I wouldn't look at it as $5 for one show. I'd look at it as $5 to keep the entire Pete and Sebastian experience running flawlessly. But either way, but yeah, you know, appreciate the people that did sign up.
Yeah, so, we want to thank you guys for being part of the family. Go ahead.
I'm babbling here, but like, as you know, just went to Berlin, Germany with Jackie for the marathon. Now, again, I was thinking, right? Because took a lot of photos, some video. And this isn't like, oh, I'm trying to keep it from the regular cast listeners. Of course not. But in a little bit of a different format, I was wondering, do we make it a Patreon show where it's a sort of slideshow along the way? Like, you know, like, this is where we were when this happened. Let me tell you what happened. And you'll come back with, who's the guy in the corner with the green hat? You know how that goes.
I would love, anytime we do a vacation or an out-of-town experience,
right,
that we do it on Patreon, and it is accompanied by audio and visual. I mean,
I like that. I like that. You know, it's a little travel log. By the end of that Patreon episode, you will know if you think you ever need to go to Berlin. Just, I'm not telling you whether you do or not, just based on my stories and our discussions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so we'll put your Berlin story on the shelf for Patreon. What I want to get into right off the bat is I'm a solo dad right now while Lana is knocking back tequila with five moms in Mexico.
Oh, that's exciting, bro. It's exciting, right, man? I mean, you feel like, how long have you had him alone now? Is this night number one or what? What are we on?
So yesterday I came home 1 p.m. I got him in the car and we went to another father's house whose wife is with Lana. And we did a little pool day over there. He made some steaks. We had dinner with the kids there. I got him home, gave him a bath. I have to say, man, being with daddy, it's like being in the army. It's like a time, you know.
Being in the army, but we did an upgrade on the barracks and the menu. Kids, let's not forget, they're not sleeping on cots, guy. I seen that marble tub they bathing. Like Eddie Murphy coming to America when the three chicks come up around them, all clean. I'm kidding, though. I know what you're saying. You got him on a rigid time schedule. I like that.
Yeah.
No floating
so
around.
So what I think, no, there's no, we get in the tub, it's, you know, we're in the bed, we read the book, we're having fun, but we're moving. But here's where my hiccup was this morning. And I even text Lana, I said, I don't know if you've ever had to do Sadie's hair. A ponytail or a braid, or have you been doing her hair at all?
No, the only time I've ever done it, very young, just one big, almost like, you know, when you finish with a garbage bag in the kitchen and you just spin it and then you put a twist tie around it. That's it. That's a ponytail. Like, it looks like a horse's tail. Once it got beyond that, I'm out. I've never done anything with it.
All right, well,
so what are you doing? You're trying to do a three braid fucking German well, braid or something, guy?
You can move to Germany.
Well, here's an issue. Serafina's hair is curly.
I see that. Yeah.
So when she gets up in the morning, it needs to be like brushed out. Now, I ain't good on the brushing out, bro. It you know, it's like I'm pulling her head off her neck, you know? So sitting there and I'm putting water on it, detangler. I'm trying to get through this. And I looked up a YouTube video on how to do ponytails.
Yeah.
Bro, if you've seen what's involved in doing a ponytail, it's not just gathering the hair and putting a thing on it.
Yeah.
There's a whole step. It takes about 10 and a half to 11 minutes to get a beautiful ponytail locked and loaded for school.
Really?
And I was trying this, and it was a half hour. I just couldn't get it. So I ended up putting a little headband on her, and she wore it down.
Right. Well,
but I text Lana. I go, what you're doing with the hair? Because you should see what Lana's doing. She's doing crisscross braids. She's doing, it looks like a grid back there of hair.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even get a simple.
Well, mothers are so great too at holding the hair here and doing a hard brush out here. And the kid's, you know, in no pain. Like you said, I do it once. No. Kid jerks back, acts like I'm stabbing her, you know? Now, your thing is though, you know, you try, you kind of bail and put a bow on it because you don't have the motivation of a divorce. You know what I'm saying? You know your wife's coming back from Mexico with a tan and she'll step right back in, you know? Otherwise, you send the kid off with the bow and you'd be on YouTube the rest of the day going, I got to figure this shit out. Otherwise, my kid's going to be wearing a bow into eighth grade every day and a hat.
Well, I mean, You could tell I brought the kids to school, and even the teachers must have said, Lana must be out of town, just based on the hair alone.
Right. They didn't even open the lunchbox yet to see fucking lasagna. Do you make the lunch?
The lunch is stellar. The hair looks like shit.
Now, do you feel that your kids feel like they can kind of break the rules a little bit without mom being home? Like, do they feel even more, oh, I wish mom was here to loosen this up. This guy's hardcore. Like, I would see when dad's just home, even though you keep a tight sketch, I feel like they're walking all over you. Huh?
No, I think it's the other way around.
Really?
Like, I saw some behavior that I go, I said, this ain't mommy. So we are tightening the ship when daddy's around. That's for sure. Mommy kind of lets things go, and mommy's a lot more patient and relaxed. Daddy's a little bit more, you know, firm when he wants to get in a car to go to school.
Right.
You know?
So by the time your kids are like early teenagers, they're going to know your road schedule better than you do, right? Oh, God, when is he doing that Vegas run?
Well, I tell you what, Caruso didn't want to put his shoes on this morning, and he took off running down the hallway, and I went after him, and it was reminiscent of Walter Payton escaping tackles. This guy was I had to dive and tackle this kid to get him in the car.
Jeez. My God, man. So how many more days you got him alone?
Not many. She's coming back tomorrow afternoon. She's been gone since Saturday. The nanny was here Saturday taking care of him. So it's a nice little time for Lana to get away. I even told her to go longer. She only went for 4 days. I said, go to Friday.
Yeah.
Relax. Get out of here. I mean, she hasn't been on a vacation by herself since the kids were born. So, she needs a definite break. So she's out and about. I got the house yesterday. I don't know if you ever get this. I don't know if I had an anxiety attack or a mini heart attack. What's your take on this? I was in bed and talking about Watt with the AFib.
Yeah. Yeah.
My heart was racing like at night, like sleeping. And it started to go and kind of woke me up. And I'm like, what the hell is that? You ever have anything like that?
Heart beating fast all of a sudden in the middle of the night. Not that I recall, no.
You're the second guy. Hey, Patrick, you ever have anything like that? Any heart? No? So, all right, this is what's worrying me.
Yeah.
I asked three people this already, and everybody's looking at me like, nah, never had that. Right. I'm looking for someone to go, oh, yeah, no, I had that a couple years ago. It was nothing.
Oh, you got to keep fishing. Of course, bro. Don't stop till you find that guy. Of course.
As soon as I find that guy, that guy's going to be enough for me to not go to the doctor.
Yeah. I mean, I was the first time I would, like, you know, go number two when blood was in the toilet. First two guys I called, no, never happened to me. You should call your doctor. Third guy's like, guy, I've had that. You're either wiping too much or you just got a little tear in your ass. So I guarantee you give it to... And the third guy slept like a baby. Cleared up within 2 days. You know, the other two guys, I'd have been sitting at the doctor freaking out. Before you know it, I would have been on ass bleed pills. You know what I'm saying, bro? But did you have a bad dream there, Chicklets? Is that why you stopped?
No. Well, you know what? I've been dreaming a lot more clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I'm like remembering my dreams, which I've never used to remember my dreams at all.
Right.
But I did have a dream last night. Well, I don't think it was associated with the heartbeat. But then I'm thinking, I was thinking before I went to bed, you know, me, I'm always thinking, I'm going, you know, it's me and the kids here. If anything happens to me at night, you know,
yeah,
what are they going to do?
Right.
There's nobody here. You know, that goes through your head when you're like almost 50.
Yeah.
Like you go to the bathroom and you collapse and they wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and daddy's on the floor in the bathroom.
You gotta ask.
Is that normal?
What would be your move? What would be your move if daddy wasn't getting up? And you know, I mean, again, just dipping a toe. Yeah.
I told Serafina, I said, anytime there's an emergency, you call 911. She knows what to do.
That would have to. I mean, just to dip a toe in Berlin, I had Sadie with me. Well, Jackie's doing a marathon, and she's like lagging behind, looking around. And at one point, I did one of those. I don't know, it's like 10 yards away from her, but I knew she didn't know where I was. And I knew she was about to look, and she looks up within, I'm saying 35 seconds, just fear, you know, just a bunch of people. She doesn't even know the country. And then I see her looking around and I'm just like this. And then she makes eye contact. She comes over and she goes, "Dad, that was the scariest minute of my entire life." Right? So, you know, you're sitting here saying, oh, if you don't wake up, you know, obviously people listen to me be like, oh, the kids will be fine. But they wouldn't. Would she call 911? Would they cry on your chest until Lana got home? You know what I mean? That's what I think they would do. I can't hear you right now. I got nothing.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now I can. Now I can. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know what it was? It was a laugh, but nothing came out. It was this.
Are you serious? Oh my god, bro, I don't like that. That's weird. Is he doing it again right now?
No. That was in. I don't know. Your hearing might be going. That was a little chuckle underneath
All right.
Yeah, so I'll have to like definitely start laughing out loud.
Or don't laugh at all if it's not funny.
Just smile. If I'm smiling, something's happening.
All right. I'll take a smile.
So I gotta jump off this train 1 second and tell you, because before I forget, over the weekend while I was on the road, I knocked out the entire series of Jeffrey Dahmer on Netflix.
Oh, wow. I just watched the first episode, a little of the second one last night. I just started.
Okay. So when I was watching the first episode, I guess the first 25 minutes of that, I asked myself, should I be watching this? Were you uncomfortable at all watching this thing?
It's beyond uncomfortable. I think we were supposed to be uncomfortable, right? I mean, I wasn't, whatever. People should have seen it by now. So I'm saying a little bit about that first episode.
Oh, it's a true story. So
yeah. You know, but when he was in the bar and he was hitting on the three black guys, wanting to buy them a beer, you know, they were pleasant. That was seedy, and it's in the way they were filming it. But I just, once we got back to his apartment, when he talked the one guy into going, that was, I paused at one point and looked over at Jackie. I'm like, is this fucking, this fucked up, right? And she's like, yeah, this is really uncomfortable. And she's like, he's so fucking dirty and sweaty too. And, you know, it was really good. The acting was phenomenal, right? Because we all felt it.
I thought I was watching a documentary. That's how good this guy was. Now, this guy, after watching 10 episodes, how good of an actor this guy is. When I picture Jeffrey Dahmer now, I don't even picture the real guy. I picture this guy. This is Jeffrey Dahmer now to me. This guy.
Absolutely, man. I'm
this is not a spoiler alert. You've just scratched the surface of uncomfortableness with this series.
Really?
There's gonna be many pauses, and you're gonna go to Jackie, I need to go throw up.
Now, I gotta say, as you said, this is now your Jeffrey Dahmer, and I get that. And some of these things are made so well and apparently so accurate that, like, I can't help thinking, if I was like a teacher, especially in college, right, I would just go, we're going to plow through season one of this Jeffrey Dahmer thing, and you're going to learn more about life in this than I could ever teach you, right? Like, if you're ever thinking I shouldn't go with this person, boom, you know what I mean? Just like, right away, I can't believe. Then I can't believe he got there. And he's going, the guy he lured in, he's at the door. He smells rotting flesh. And he still goes in the apartment. Holy fuck. I mean, what does it take to keep you out at that point? Is that, what does that smell?
Oh, it's bad meat. It's bad meat. I chopped up meat and it went bad. You want a beer? Come on in. Okay. All right.
I was thinking the same thing. If I walked in anybody's place like that and I go, the hell's that? And they go, it's meat. I tell them, when this is clean, call me. And I leave.
That's it. And I mean, I could see if maybe the guy looked like Brad Pitt and he's sitting there holding a cleaver in his left hand going, ah, the fridge broke, the meat went everywhere. You go, all right, you're stunning. Where's the bed? But then when you lay down in the bed with Brad Pitt, there's a blood spot next to you. You might have to go, guy, I am dying to bang you, but I draw the line at blood on the mattress. I mean, I draw the line. I mean, and this is Jeffrey Dahmer. This ain't even BP. Oh, God.
Just the apartment alone. It was just weird. And then he had that weird hair, like matted to his forehead and the glasses. It's just like, God damn, man. It's like that guy's the portrait of a serial killer. And then you put him in that apartment with a blood stain and the smell. Get the fuck out of there. I mean, gone.
Oh, my God.
And no one's saying nothing. They got this smell going through the whole damn apartment complex, and they still got him in there.
I know.
The woman next door was complaining left and right about the smell coming through her own vent. And, you know, the police, even the did you see the police yet when they come? Oh, God. And,
in the first episode, and they see the Polaroids?
Photos. That's gay stuff.
Yeah. And they're in there.
I know.
And well, they smell it. The police smell it.
I was saying to Jackie, if they didn't find the Polaroids, were they going to leave? I mean, holy shit, clearly there's something going on. That first episode was so weird. Even the little things were weird, all right? Like, he put something in the guy's drink. And then when the guy goes to drink the beer, the guy looks at the beer and goes, what's that floating in my beer? And Dahmer goes, I don't know. It's probably just soap dish. Drink it, you know? And the guy drinks it. It's like, even if it was soap shit, I ain't drinking it. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that how, like, desperate these people were for just a beer? That, like, all right, I'll drink it with soap dish and shit.
They're like, it's dish soap. And the guy's like, all right, I'll have beer with dish soap. I would go, get me another one.
Give me the can. Give me the can. Hey, dirty glass. Fucking thing probably had an eyeball in it before I got here. And the father had no idea. I said to Jackie, if we found out that our child, as an adult, was doing that, do you think we should feel blame? And Jackie said, if we raise her the way we're raising her, all of a sudden she decided to start eating people. I mean, what the fuck? How is that our fault? And I'm like, I don't know. I hear you. I kind of hear you. So,
not only the fact that if she started eating people is one thing, but the fact that you're so detached from your daughter that you don't even know she's eating people. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But I mean,
like if I was eating people growing up, my mother would know.
Yes, I would.
Mama.
Right?
Well, you nap on your mom's lap with your head sometimes as a 30-year-old, so there's a very close relationship. My mom lives 500 miles away and has ever since I was 22 years old, so... but seriously, let me ask you this.
Bro, before you even get into that.
What?
Later on in it, he lived with his grandmother, right? And he was doing this in the house.
With his grandma. And she didn't
His
know.
Grandma was in the
house.
Oh,
late. Okay. This guy was... get to that. I'm only on episode one.
Okay, what? This is known. This is just for this argument.
All right.
He was in his grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And he was doing this. He was having guys over at his grandmother's house. When I was growing up, if I brought somebody into the house, my parents knew, even if they were sleeping, someone was in the house. My mother slept so light. When I came home, she knew I was home.
Right.
And if I was talking to somebody else while I was home, she would have gone, who the fuck is that down there?
Right. Yeah.
These people, the Dahmer family, gone. The whole family should go to prison.
That I totally get. I mean, you know, your mom would know. I'm saying I'm only going by episode one where he's living in a dumpy apartment by himself. So yeah. And like,
but even if your mother came to that dumpy apartment,
of course, yeah. But if no one came there, if she's just on the phone, all I'm saying too, you got to remember. And I'm not saying Dom is this, but we've all seen Silence of the Lamb. I would have an espresso or a cappuccino with Hannibal Lecter if I didn't know the other side of him. I mean, you know, he played piano. He was a classy guy. He seemed like a fun guy to have a meal with.
You would go to his apartment, though.
What? Hey, did you see the last Hannibal where he lived up there in the thing and the beautifully painted and stuff? I mean, a psychotic can hide that. I'm saying maybe Dahmer's family never dropped by to see the pad. Maybe he was on the phone with his dad. He was as normal as he is. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's a tough call. Do you think the parents knew their son was eating people and they didn't say anything?
No. They didn't know. That's what I'm saying. It's what I'm upset with the parents is the fact that they weren't in tune to the kid enough
to
find out that this kid was killing people.
Right.
Even, listen, there's another thing. This guy had drills and saws going in his house at 2:00 in the morning, and the woman next door is telling people, like, I'm sorry, if you hear power tools and screaming at 2 a.m. in the morning,
right,
you know, he ain't building a desk, you know?
Yeah, no, I know.
Wait till you get into this, because I think what we're going to do here, one of the things we're going to do, Patrick, and maybe we could come up with a little chime, is we're going to do a Dahmer review every episode, because since I've seen it already and you haven't, the next time we meet, I want to do another. Because you're going to get into some shit here that we need to discuss. So we'll pump the brakes because you're only in on, you know, 1.5 episodes. I'm done with the whole thing. So let's pick that up the next episode. We'll do a Dahmer diary.
All right. I am looking forward to continuing it. It was pretty creepy. But even at the beginning, if I could just say in episode one, when the guy's running naked in the alleyway with the handcuffs on, and he's like, help, help. You know, even that guy, and with the wrong cop around, he may not even want to hear your story. Just think you're another crazy guy and throw you in the back of the car. And you'll be at some, you know, Bellevue Hospital, chained to a bed. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then you drank the shit, and then he tried to, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen when he got run down by the cops. I thought they were going to pull him into the jail because they thought he escaped from another police officer with the handcuffs, you know?
So that was, I was happy to see that though, with the ding, you know, ding dong, here we go. And by the way, if I'm a cop and I knock on your door and you, once you know I'm a cop and all you give me is the chain, you're guilty. I'm already with my left hand texting my partner to go and get the chain cutters and call backup. The fuck? You know? I mean, right out of the gate. Because if you're innocent, you're opening that up. Anybody want a coffee or water? How you guys doing? You know? Can I come in?
Because they ask.
Yeah. What?
Because they asked them.
Yeah.
Can we come in? And the pause that he gave them. Again, I bust down the door, and that guy's on the ground in handcuffs while we search the apartment.
That's it, man. That's it. Because if you say no, what do you think they're going to go? Darn it, he got away. Yeah. We're going to go get guys. We'll be right back. We're going to get more guys.
Well, legally, can they search your apartment without a search warrant? What do you think?
Not now. Can't do nothing now. Well, you have to have, like, probable cause, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if I would think the smell would be enough, I'd be like, I got a guy here who says he tried to kill him. I'm at the door now, and I'm smelling meat. I'm kicking open the chain. You know what I mean? But the world we live in now is like, you know, you get a lawsuit because, you know, you're being judgmental because maybe their diet isn't yours. So, you know, some religions, they eat fucking raw goat. How do you know there wasn't raw goat in there? I'm serious, bro. It's ridiculous now. Can't even keep up.
Oh, God.
Why does everybody always want to leave me? Leave you? I need some fresh air. It stinks in here.
Well, hey, I said I'd turn on the air conditioner.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
What do I wear? I only told you 12 times. The first dress that you put on is still your best find.
We were speaking of podcasts earlier before we got on here. I did Logan Paul's podcast. You know who this is? Paul brothers.
I know him from just seeing in the news. He does these like fights with famous people, like, and but he's not.
He fought Mayweather. He fought Mayweather, and then his brother is a little bit more serious, I think, in the fighting scene. He's been fighting a lot more people. But
he's not a fighter per se, isn't he? Like a some sort of a social media star.
Yeah, he's like a YouTube sensation. This guy's been on YouTube, I think, since its inception. And him and his brother have used social media to, you know, amass a huge following, fortune, the whole thing. These guys are, and this is what I want to talk about, because when I pulled up to the house for the podcast, when I walked in, right away I'm on camera. They got two camera guys right in my face, right, filming. There's so many people in this house, man. He's got his boxing trainer there, his manager's there. There's I'd say about 15 to 17 people walking around the house for a podcast.
Wow.
And they're all like under the age of 30.
What's Patrick doing right now? Texting Whitney Cummings, telling him what time he'll be over there. We got one guy, he's texting his other show. Guys, that's an army, bro.
And it's like you walk in, one guy's eating, you know, it's like there's so much going on in the house. And one guy asked me, he's like, where's your guys? I go, where's my guys? I go, I'm the only one doing you just want to interview me, right? I came alone. This is it. I don't got guys. I don't got anybody following me with a camera. I just got me in my car. That's it.
That's hilarious, man. There's no team. You got no team. No camp.
No team. No, I got no camp. These guys got, man. It's like, but you know, it's cool to see this younger generation and how they move, man. It's like. Right. It's fast. Everybody's on their phone. They're doing this. And then we ready? Ready? Okay, we're going to sit down. And it's high energy. And I come in there in half in a coma. You know me. I don't get excited for nothing. I come in and right away I'm hot. I'm boiling. Just because, you know, it's like when you get out of the shower, you get in the car, and then it's hot out, and then you get to the place. Right. I'm already at, you know, 99, bro. 100 degrees just
15 people in one room plus the lights, it's a lot of body heat. You thought you were going to be, you know, next to Logan with one light on you, sipping a drink, you know, of water or something. No. So, yeah.
No, this is a, and there's a guy next to me, and there's another guy. There's three people on the podcast plus me, plus the lights, plus a guy eating out of a trough.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot going on. So, I want to know how you would handle this. I had a T-shirt on, and it was a light-colored T-shirt. And as soon as I sit down, we start talking. But all of a sudden, as I'm talking and as I'm getting going, because once you're on these things, also your level of adrenaline starts to kick in because you're like, okay, I'm on this podcast. I'm talking. I start sweating, bro, and it's bad. So bad that it's beating on my forehead. I could tell. You know, like, it's one thing to be hot. It's another thing to feel it.
Right.
I'm starting to feel I feel it a drop. So in the middle of this thing, not middle, first 5 minutes in, I go, I'm dying here. I'm drenched. And then I hear them. And now they gave me a paper towel to towel off, right?
Right.
So I'm wiping myself down like in the interview. I'm doing wipe offs every 3 minutes with this towel. And then I look down, bro, on the t-shirt. I got sweat strips underneath my tits on the t-shirt. It's showing through. It's bleeding through. And I didn't even make mention of it. And God knows what my armpits look like. Right. God knows. It's so bad that every time I go for a glass of water, I do one of these. It's not even a lean so you could see it. It literally looked like an alligator arm just to get the thing and put it back just so you wouldn't be able to see my arm. I look like Richard Pryor in one of his specials, you know, when Live on the Sunset. That's what I looked on this podcast.
Right. Well, listen, first of all, did you know you were going to be on camera or did you still you were talking? So
no, I knew I was going to be on camera. I just didn't know I was going to be sweating this much.
I can't help thinking that part of Logan Paul was looking at you as they were handing you the towel, paper towel, going, if you had a camp, your camp would be getting you a real towel right now. That's what happens when you're solo, you know? If you had a camp, you could turn to your camp and be like, I need a shirt. Boom, they're making calls. Someone's running down the hill to fucking, you know, get you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You start the story off like, look at me, humble guy. All I have is my keys. By the end of it, you're fucking wiping your head with a fucking bounty. Your t-shirt's just soaked. You just made a point to get your car.
I went to my car with no shirt on and a bath towel.
Oh, God. Bro.
I'm not cut out for these podcasts. Go, cut out for it, man. You know, like when we went on, remember on Sirius XM, where do we go with the two guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okerson and what's his name? Jay Okerson and the other
Dan.
Guy.
Dan Soderman, yeah, and Big J. Yeah, exactly. Great guys. Yeah.
Thank God you were there because you carried us through that whole podcast.
You talked.
I don't know. Yeah, every once in a while I chime in, but what are you going to ask me? The same things?
Right.
There's the same thing. It's the same questions, and I'm just saying it in a different way. I just don't. I even tell them on the podcast, I ain't cut out for this shit.
Well, I mean, they got to know. You're great. It's just a certain way, but I got to ask you this, too. Even when we did like Big J and them, or like I'm going to do Adam Ferraris after this because apparently, yeah. And I like Adam. He's a great guy and a funny guy. And we're supposed to be doing, I'm told, you got to, Thad from England, my boy, he's always like, you got to do more podcasts to promote your podcast. But even when I go on with Adam, right, and we're going to go down memory lane, remember this club, remember that club, and we'll have some laughs. Is anybody going to go, I got to listen to this other podcast, people. No, they're going to go, hey, Adam had another good guest. Can't wait till the next, you know, it's like, and again, you know, I'm not saying I like Adam a lot. I'm looking forward to doing it, but I just don't think I'm making people turn the dial, as they say, but maybe.
Listen, maybe you'll get some other followers from that podcast, but you got to come out with a story that's so unbelievable that people go, I got to tune into this guy. This guy's unbelievable. My opinion, what I'm saying on podcasts is just like a story about my career.
Right.
When I waited tables at the Four Seasons, and then I got to do this, and then headed that, and then under this, and then there's a couple funny lines there, but no one's walking away going, Jesus Christ, this guy's got a podcast. The only way that's going to happen is if you were on the podcast interviewing me. That's the only way.
But that's like the last thing you are is that on the show. I mean, you know, there's so much coming to the table. But I hear your point, man. It's like I don't, you know, yeah. And even if I did, for me, if I go on another cast, even if I had a great story, the kind where you're saying, "Oh my God, what a great story!" I gotta, as I'm saying it in my head, I'll be going, "I gotta save this for our cast. What am I doing?" And I back out of it. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I would be saying for those stories? As I was telling a story, like the De Niro story we did on Patreon about, you know, my De Niro story.
Yeah, yeah.
That De Niro story I tried to tell again on this podcast. I did a different De Niro story about me crying, but not necessarily the, you know, the line. Right. I did that. And it just, when you're telling the story, you know the room is like, especially with these young kids, they got no attention span. And my stories, they're like a souffle.
They really are.
They need time to, like, bake.
Of course.
And with these young kids, man, if you don't get the story out in 10 seconds, they're on their Instagram going, "This fucking guy's boring." You know?
And they're probably already halfway through your story thinking to themselves, "I can't wait to ask him what Robert De Niro was like. Did they ever get breakfast together?" You know? The difference is, and when I go out from our show, I know you don't go out as much anymore because these shows are so big, but when I say hi after the shows, like this past week, had a ball in Connecticut, you know, the things these people say, like, they're like, they feel like they know us because they're like, "Dude, I listen to every week." You know, one guy's like, "I mow my lawn." The other one, "I love it. I love hearing this stuff." But they literally feel like they know us because we share so much and they hear it all the time. So by the time you're telling them De Niro story about crying, I mean, they've been listening for years. They know the journey to get to that point. And, it, you know, and it's not just this isolated story of you being with De Niro. It's a whole big, funny-ass thing, man, that's, you know, fucking cut. God. Bro, I saw a couple of comments, too, when that posted. And one guy's like, "You're laughing too hard. Wasn't that funny?" Who is so angry and miserable in their life that they send a comment that "I'm laughing too hard"? Holy shit. Get a fucking life, guy. I can take a critique, but I mean, that you mad at people because they're laughing? I get jealous. Like when I landed in back in America, you ever have this? And the plane lands, and then everyone's phone starts getting texts beeping that they did. I get nothing. People next to me, they're beeping, they're lighting up. I'm like, who the fuck do these people know? I got nothing. I got not one person going, "Welcome back to the States." These people like, oh, by the way, you ever see the person laughing while they're looking at something on the
Oh my God. Is that a real laugh? Now, talk about getting pissed off. You just got pissed off because someone was laughing too hard. And you just.
But I don't tap them on the shoulder and go, "Let me see what you're laughing at. That guy?"
You know?
Although I do always look at them, and in my head I'm like, I guarantee I wouldn't think what you're laughing at is funny if I read that.
So, let me ask you, because I've heard that. And I've also heard, you know, people laughing at a movie on the plane, which again, bothers me. You know, you ever hear the guy behind you going,
Bro, one got away from me. I was watching this Nick Cage movie coming back from Berlin, and one got away from me for a second where I went, like that. I got away.
Oh, God.
I know, bro. I wasn't happy with it, but... What if it's your movie, man?
I don't care what movie it is. If you're on an airplane, you find something funny, you smile. That's it. You don't let out a... This guy, the whole ride, I don't know, it was 2.5 hours. There's no fun. There's no movie this funny, man.
I don't know. I know you do the private with the shows now. I don't know if you've gone private to another country yet, but man, you fly international, bro. By the end of the flight, it's like, are we one big family? Holy shit. There is a breakdown of society over the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, just a complete breakdown. It goes from a flight to survival. Holy shit. Animal. Guy, is it okay for a man on an international flight to take off his shoes if he keeps his socks on? Okay? And because I.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You could take your shoes off on a plane.
Okay.
If you're seated.
Yes.
Once you get up, you need to put your shoes back on. And if you decide to walk around the plane, you can't walk around in your socks.
What kind of man can't keep his shoe on for if it came to it, for 24 hours? What kind of man is sitting in a chair with all these people around? You got kids with you, got your kid. What if the plane all of a sudden hits turbulence and we're going nosediving? You're going to be putting your fucking Adidas on? And then not only was the guy to take, I can't take that. I mean, my daughter's like, can I take my shoes off? Of course you can. You're 9, right? Then not only is his shoes off, I don't know if we brought this up before. He's doing the foot on foot rub, like rubbing his feet together to massage each one with the sake, with the sakis on. Oh my God, what are we cuddling in a fucking sleeping bag? Hey.
I saw that. I just saw that. I took a flight back from Oakland to LA yesterday. Woman had her sandals on. She took the sandal off and she scratched her shin with her big toe. I'm like,
it's a woman, guy. It's a woman.
What do you mean?
It's a woman. It's not even the same. It's a different species. It's not the same animal. I don't look at it the same. You know what I'm saying? I think it's okay for a woman to do that a little bit. I mean,
all right. I didn't find it good. the feet weren't maintained. If it was a beautiful woman and she took her sandal off and the foot was beautiful and she decided to rub her that's hot. Yeah. This one had fucking looked like, you know, like rhinoceros skin on her.
You're bringing up a
bottom
great
of her feet.
Yeah.
And it was like sandpaper, bro.
You're bringing up a great point. When I say that about women, it's under the assumption 9 out of 10 women put some serious time and effort into their feet. But just because you're a woman doesn't mean it makes it okay. You have to be falling under, like, I've seen 80-year-old women's feet that I would still eat a meal off of if I had to. So you could keep your foot up, honey. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the package. I'm sorry. You know, I got my own shit to deal with. Women got to take care of the feet. Men, we should never see them, bro. Never see them.
I agree.
We've been through that.
I agree. Give me some other things you saw on this flight, international, that you were either repulsed by or you did. What do you got?
How about this one? Because you're flying international, they serve food, right? Which I didn't bank on it, and I'm glad I didn't. It was like crap, right? So I got two things. The first one that's appalling, I find, is coming home, they were giving out hot cheeseburgers, right? What, with your dish, you get a whole thing. Guy in front of me, he's got his family with him. The flight attendant's halfway down the aisle. She's already given us all our cheeseburgers. He's walking. I'm like, where's he going? He gives her a tap. I don't hear what he says. And then I hear her turn around. She goes, I'm sorry, sir. I can't give you another cheeseburger until I make sure everybody on the plane gets their cheeseburger. I'm like, oh, my. Guy, what do you think? This is a Ponderosa? All you can eat? You got your fucking cheeseburger. We'll be in Newark in 2 hours. You're not going to stop. Are you kidding me? Who would go back and beg for a second burger on a United flight? Can I get another one? That was yummy. Guy, what is this, a fucking 4th of July barbecue guy? I mean, we're already having internal talks about United shutting down the fucking meal plan altogether internationally. I mean, I found that embarrassing as shit. And it was for him, too. It wasn't even like his little boy was doubly starving. And then, little white trash on my part. What's your take on this? Flying to Berlin. We got 3 seats here in a row, me, Sadie, and Jackie. Sadie and Jackie are out like lights, sleeping. Flight attendant comes with the hot dish food, which we even brought our own food we had in the bag because it was a 9-hour flight. But, hey, you know, I haven't gotten a hot meal on a plane since 1979. I got to see what this is about. So what's your take? I didn't want them to be left out, so I opened up my tray and took all 3, did a 3 stack, waited for them to wake up a half hour later. and pointed to our shit. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't stop people walking by going, oh my God, he's saving the fucking hot lasagna. So when they wake up, it's ready for them. I mean, because they don't, the way it is in economy, if you don't get it when they're giving it, it's not like, we'll keep it warm in the oven. When they wake up, you just mosey on down your slippers and we'll pull it out for you. Get it now or don't get it at all.
Well, if I was on the plane and I didn't know you and I glanced over and you had a three stack on your tray table, I go, look at this asshole. He asked for three. He asked for three for himself. Jesus Christ. He's bitching up the guy with the burger. He just got three entrees.
Oh man.
And I didn't know that was the rule that they're sleeping, and I thought if they're sleeping, you could just put their tray table down.
I could have, but the way they were sleeping, they were all over each other. I couldn't have put their trays down without the, you know, then they would have rolled over, everything would have went everywhere, so.
Yeah, and I don't see that. I don't see that being that white trash.
All right. So, yeah, other than that, you know, there's a whole big thing we gotta get into, and I don't know if I'll save it for Patreon. I love the idea of the travel log, but I feel like people are already annoyed that I said that. I'm you know what I mean? We're too good. We're like Robin Hood's guy. We just keep giving to the people. By the way, last thing I want to ask you, I know we try not to get political, so I'm not going to get into any of the fact that our president said hello to somebody who wasn't even alive anymore. But my question to you is, because we're not, because I saw that great article in the Daily Wire where they even gave us kudos for being a podcast that doesn't do that, right?
Yeah.
As everything keeps going forward the way it seems to be going, if you ever just take a glance at the news, are we just going to be like the band in the Titanic? We're just going to keep talking about flights and tipping and shit right up until my house gets hit?
Pretty much.
Okay.
This is the way, it's going to go. International flights, I did a podcast, I'm sweating, and then a bomb in the backyard.
That's our show, baby. Nothing but laughs, bro. Nothing but laughs.
Did I tell you about my dad talking about how the guy was watering the tree?
No.
Did I tell you that story?
No.
All right. So my dad was here for a week, and by the way, I got to bring this book up here. The next cast, I'll do it. It's not even out yet. Will Gudera, Unreasonable Hospitality. That's the name of the book. This guy ran 11 Madison Park Restaurant in New York. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No, I haven't.
And now it's time for Pete and Sebastian's recommendations.
That shit's hot, man.
That's a nice touch.
Hey. So this guy basically is all about hospitality. Giving the guests above and beyond what's expected. That's the way I kind of try and live my life when it comes to hospitality. My dad likes to read the newspaper in the morning. So each morning, I had three newspapers here for him to knock out, right? Just the little things. He loves it. I mean, it's 3 hours there. He's knocking out articles. He don't remember what the fuck he's reading, but when he's reading it, he remembers, right? So we're sitting out there, and I got a lot of yard work going on. I got the pool, the whole thing. But the gardeners are watering a tree. And he goes to me, you know, he's watering it the wrong way. You know that, right? And this is how my dad is. Like, if he finds something that's not right in my house or in my life, he will point it out, but then ask me, you know that's wrong, right? He knows I don't know, right?
Right, right.
So I go, what do you mean he's watering it the wrong way? He goes, you're not supposed to water a tree at where the tree goes into the ground. I go, where are you supposed to water it? He goes, you know where the roots are? The roots of that tree are the width of the tree. So if the branches are out here, you just draw a line from that branch, and that's where the roots are in the ground. He goes, so those branches are 3 feet from the actual trunk of the tree. You got to water the tree 3 feet away from the trunk. Did you notice?
No, I usually do a blast where the trunk meets the ground.
It's wrong. Now, I'm sitting here, and I'm going, this can't be right.
Right.
I look it up. This motherfucker's right.
No kidding, man. I believe
it. You're supposed to water a tree around the tree.
It's unbelievable.
Not directly.
My father-in-law didn't even know that. And then next time I see my father-in-law, I'm going to be like, hey, what the fuck are we doing with these trees? So we keep hitting the trunk. Unbelievable. I thought my father-in-law knew everything. So, I mean, you telling the guy now, though, or you just...
That's my question. Do you go up to the guy? This is a landscaping company.
Right.
And, you know, these guys don't own the company. They're just laborers. But do I call the head of the company and go, I want my money back for last week and the weeks prior? Because this guy ain't watering my trees.
Listen, you're not going to get a refund on your water, especially not in California. But I'd say moving forward, if you want me to explain myself, I will, but I'll just tell you, I'd rather have them water a donut around my tree and stop hitting the trunk. If you want it a while, I'll tell you, but you guys are doing it wrong. Guy, again, well, you know how many emails you're going to get? I mean, the drought going on, you're watering trees? Not even grass. Full trees? I thought those things just survive anything.
Well, let me ask you this. How many times a week do you do laundry at the house?
It's like almost always on. It's always turning constantly. Not me. Okay. Not me, Jackie. Okay. It's always out.
Okay. Mine too. Always on. So I made an announcement in the house. Once a week, we're doing laundry. All right?
Wow.
Once a week. Like, how many? So Lana's like, what do you mean once a week? I go, I don't know. We were doing it every day. You know, the kids, Lana, this, that. Yeah. Okay, sweating this, put in the laundry, it's done.
No. It's America, guy. Huh. That's how we do it here. I mean, every time I go to my closet, I like a full repertoire. I want everything locked and loaded. I want everything to be available. You ever go to look for a shirt and it's in the wash? It's like my mind is blown. I'm like, it's my wife. What am I supposed to say if I want to be a baby? Where's the V-neck? Where's the deep V? What the fuck? I got plans. So, I mean, don't change your mind. What are you doing? Come on. They got to change the water system. I don't know what they're doing in this country. You know? Figure it out.
I'm getting killed on water over here.
Really?
Right? Killed.
Man.
If I told you my water bill, you'd fall out of your seat. All right? So I said, all right, once a week we're doing laundry. So this is last week was the first full week. Bro, you should see it down there. Fucking beautiful. I got these piles of shit.
Really? Right? Really?
Now, Lana goes, this can't continue. We at least got to do it 27. I go, why? She goes, I don't have any underwear. I go, you don't have over 6 pairs of underwear? If you were to guess, how many underwear do you have in your drawer right now?
I'd probably say I could do about a 12 to 13 day run, maybe 14 days.
Okay. That's, I think that, like, Patrick, how many underwear do you got in your drawer?
2, 3, maybe.
Okay. I got about anywhere between 21 and 30 pairs of underwear.
Wow. In my
drawer. Well, not at all times, but like, you know.
Yeah, I got about 14. No, after the seventh one is down, no, I'm there.
2 weeks. But let me ask you this: do you go in your? Do you have like a least favorite pair of underwear in there where you go, oh fuck, I got to put this one on because you don't have it? Like,
ranked? Jackie says I got to do more of a flow because I keep using the same 7, so they wear out quicker. Mm-hmm. Nah, there's only one that's like polka dotty. I dig it, but I got to make sure I don't wear it where someone could see it that I don't want to see it. But other than that, they're all boxes, though. But, you know, like briefs or whatever. But, bro, I shouldn't have said what I said about the water in this country. I know it is what it is. But how's this going to play out long term? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they trying to figure out
where to get more water in California?
I don't understand. And maybe this, I'm just naive, just like the Mother Teresa thing. I didn't know she was a nun. But have they figured out how to take ocean water and filter it?
We talked about this. Apparently, it's very expensive to do. I mean, I don't know. It's just ironic, you know what I mean? You guys got no water, then we got a hurricane on the other part of the country. You would think somehow, you know, why don't we get pipes going?
Or
get pipes going all throughout the country. So if North Dakota gets a huge rainfall, the whole country got that rainfall. We just got pipes flowing that everywhere. I can't come up with everything. It's unbelievable. I didn't even go to MIT, and I'm like, solve shit left and right with coffee.
Do you think a hurricane like that happens? It'd be nice to have a filtration system built under the city where all that water comes in. As soon as it's coming in, it's actually going, you know, like the drainage actually keeps up with the amount of water that comes in to the land. And then they take rainwater, siphon that out. Next thing you know, you're taking a shower next week with Hurricane Ida water.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, somehow it bypasses the homes, and next thing you know, they're growing 3-foot fucking corn in Nebraska because they're irrigating that shit. I'm right there with you, bro. I mean, you know,
like Ida would go through the whole. Is there a way they could listen? I mean, we're talking, of course, fantasy, but is there a way they could take hurricane water that comes into the land and then filter that, and then everybody in the United States gets the benefit of that type of rainwater? I don't know. I mean, we're going above and beyond comedy podcast. This is almost now like a science.
Is like a science podcast. I know. I mean, shit.
They should play this podcast in schools to ignite the intelligentsia of people who have a brain.
Just to get them churning, thinking about this kind of stuff. Because right now, all these college kids are focused on social issues. And there ain't going to be any water to parch their throat if they want to protest 10 years from now. So we should all put the social issues aside for a second and figure out how we're going to get some water to all these other places. You know what I'm saying? Man, unbelievable. Has it been like this, like, ever since, like, even, like, when Fleetwood Mac and the Mamas and the Papas were making albums up in the Hollywood Hills, when, like, Mama Cass would go to the bathroom with, like, fucking, you know, Mick Fleet would be like, "Don't flush, Mama Cass, there's a water shortage." You know, did this go that far back, you know? Was Hugh Hefner going, "Listen, we're going to have everyone over, but we can't go in the pool, it's only half filled, fucking A." You know, I don't know.
I would like to go back and do a deep dive on the amount of rainfall over the course of the last 50 years in the city of Los Angeles and see 50 years ago was actually, Patrick, can you look this up? 50 years ago, can you give us a brief synopsis of the trend of rainfall over the last 50 years in L.A.? Because, like, I don't know. I wasn't here 50 years ago. Were they going through this?
Well, there wasn't also as many. There wasn't as many people here either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, where you live right now, you know, all those homes, that is all, you're not there. There's nothing there, apparently. It was, like, no traffic. It was crazy. Different time. So.
Different time. But I just, even if you want to go this far into it, per capita, you know, the amount of rainfall to the amount of people.
Right.
You know, if you want to go even that far, again, man, I don't know if you get this on any other comedy podcast where we're doing per capita shit. I mean, it's just
that's right. You're saying, I need to know. I would tell my team, I need to know back in 1955, anyone who was living in the Los Angeles area, what was the average amount of water they were drinking and flushing with and showering with a year? And if they go, it's about 2,000 gallons per person. Okay, what are we up to now? 2,000 gallons per person. Yeah. All right, then let's enough with the fucking scary tactics. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have eliminated the amount of times we're doing our laundry, and then I'm taking that water and watering the trees with it So it's like conserving here, but you know, like
yeah.
I'm just trying to limit the water that we're using. Here's what I'm doing, and this might be a little gross, but I like to take ice plunges. All right. So I fill up the bathtub and I fill it up with ice. All
right. Right.
I don't drain that water. I keep it in there for the next day and I sit in it again. Now I take a shower after this,
but
I don't want to fill up the entire bathtub again with water.
Bro, that's like, I don't even think they're doing that in Sweden, guy. Pat yourself on the back for that. I mean, that's impressive. I do you ever see that Huey Lewis video when he says, I want a new drug? And he's it's a famous video where he's putting on the red suit to go do a show, but he's hungover. So he cracks the ice cubes in the sink, fills the sink up with water, and does a face dip. I showed Sadie that one time on video. And sometimes when she's having a rough morning and getting ready for school, I'm like, want to do the Huey Lewis face dip? And then I go down and I crack him in a sink. Boom. But yeah, the full body one and recouping the water, that's huge, bro. I mean, right there were people about to hit the keyboard about your tree, and then they're like, oh, he's reusing the tub.
He's reusing bath water. Yeah, this guy's amazing.
That's unbelievable, man. Yeah, that's above and beyond, bro. That's above and beyond.
Do we got any data?
Yeah. Right now, we average 12 inches of rain per year in L.A., and in 1995, it was 15 inches per year.
3 inches less. Right.
You know, is that a lot?
All that telling me is that next year, you're going to get 18 inches. You know what I'm saying?
It all evens out in the wash.
Listen,
right?
I'm at my age. What do I have to gain to believe in global warming? I'm way better off not believing in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could see a 10-year-old caring, but no.
No, you're supposed to care.
I know my kid.
For your kids.
I do care. I really do care. And I do recycle and I do all that. But sometimes with the weather, I just think like, a lot of this stuff seems to be having always happened, you know? Seems like it has.
Yeah, well,
some of it.
We'd have to do some research on that.
But I am green, guy. I'm green as can be, bro. Recycle. I was only kidding, folks. I don't want to get into a whole thing. Just take that part out.
yeah. All right. This is coming out this week, right? It's coming out tonight. So listen, I got a couple things I want to tell people.
Yeah.
Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel this weekend. Two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. Columbus Day. By the way, can we say Columbus Day anymore? That's on Monday. So you got the weekend, long weekend. Come out to Wynn Las Vegas. Still some tickets left. Also going to be in Atlantic City later on in November. Also Windsor, Ontario. And just added a show in New Hampshire on December 4th, I believe. It's a Sunday night. Tickets at SebastianLive.com. Patreon. $5 a month. Go to Patreon. Pete and Sebastian Show. A lot of people wanted the video of that meat technique that I do. I posted that up there. Pete's going to be posting some stuff from Berlin. We're going to do a Berlin Patreon episode, and you're going to find out what the hell happened to Pete in Germany. He did mention online that there was a lack of deodorant amongst the population.
Oh, yeah.
Looking to get in.
Full walkthrough. I'll give you a full walkthrough of Berlin. Absolutely.
And that's it. You got any other final parting words?
Just go to PeteCorielli.com. I start a theater run October 29th in Cleveland, and it goes Gramercy Theater in New York City, Shank Hall in Milwaukee, all the way through to February. If you go to PeteCorielli.com, you can click on to the ticket link right there. And that's it, brother, man. Good hanging out.
There you have it. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening and watching the Pete and Sebastian Show. We are done.
The show has ended.
I could see if maybe the guy looked like Brad Pitt and he's sitting there holding a cleaver in his left hand going, the fridge broke, the meat went everywhere. You go, all right, you're stunning. Where's the bed?